This is a HeadGum Podcast.
Achieving a gorgeous grin from home isn't a total mystery with BiteClear aligners. Just don't be surprised if all of your sleuthing friends start asking, what's your secret? Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. BiteClear aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
It's Monday, I'm ready to hear my favorite show. It's the If I Were You show with Amir and Jake, you know. Best podcast around, these dudes take it home. Like Homer stubbing his toe, they're making
dough.
They've done so many episodes, can't even count the number. When a new one drops, some saying,
"Ay, caramba!"
If you got a sticky situation with a tipsy agent, or the risk you're taking is a little brazen, you gotta hop in. It is crazy, they'll give you advice to fix your dating. I got advice and found myself a chill spouse, man.
Everything's coming up Millhouse.
Whoa!
All right,
Simpsons chic,
your favorite
by James Gisbrecht. That one really straddled the line between bad and good.
Yeah, it was.
Which I guess is our brand,
right,
too.
Like, I didn't like it, but I was impressed.
Yeah, it was good at parts, and then it ended fine, which means I liked the whole thing. I remember when we were making our videos, we're like, as long as it ends on a funny joke and you were laughing, you don't remember the first 2 minutes.
That's true, and I've already forgotten it. I shouldn't be so rude. Gil, what is his name?
You're half scrolling through Instagram asking me what this guy's name is again.
Full scrolling through Instagram.
If you must know. And it is my Finsta. I've already checked every story on my regular Insta.
J Dolla, not Hurwitz.
James Gisbrecht. Gisbrecht. GISBRECHT.
Cool. Thank you.
Thanks, James. And thanks to you guys for listening. This is If I Were You, the only advice podcast on the internet that we host. I'm Amir.
I'm Jake.
How about this for a pivot?
Okay.
No more podcast.
Wow.
So the podcast is over.
Done.
And in its stead is a new type of show, nay, experience.
Oh.
Okay.
Called?
Escape J&A with Amir and Jake. So we go town to town, or city to city, state to state, whatever,
either
municipality
way, sure,
by area.
All right.
And we do escape rooms with people, one at a time, until everybody's escaped a room with me and you.
So, no more content created, just
Exactly. Experiences
shared.
Yeah, but the experience is an escape room, and it's the same escape room every time, so we can ruin it or look smart.
Get quickly through it.
Yeah.
That way we don't have to spend a lot of time with people.
Right, but the twist is every time we start, we're like, whoa, this one is new. This one, we've never done this one before.
We shouldn't reveal the hook.
Well,
right,
people
here
won't fucking remember it. They're so stupid. Like, we just talk and it just goes in one ear and out the other. These fucking morons don't, like, know the difference.
Why would anybody want to do an escape room with you?
Because I'm
you're
good.
You're mean-hearted. No, you're not.
And it's an escape room that I designed. And I did so from scratch.
You have no idea how to design escape room.
Well, what you do is you pick and choose different pieces from different escape rooms. So, like, I'll do
so
a Shakespeare
one. You're not
even
designing
from
anything.
Scratch,
you're just,
yeah.
You're not
from
designing
scratch.
From scratch.
Scratch is what it's called when you, like, do it by stealing other people's ideas.
No, that's by theft.
It's like French. To make French toast from scratch, you still need toast.
Okay, fine. So you are stealing other ideas. You mentioned Shakespeare.
Yeah. That's a good idea.
So
let's run with that.
This is a Shakespearean-themed escape room.
That's really good, actually.
What are some of the clues?
Clues can be, like, just different, like, minute facts about Shakespeare that obviously I know that, like, a lot of people might not.
Okay.
So it'll be, like, a cute little clever, I want to say
anything about Shakespeare? Because you shouldn't have chosen it if you don't.
No, yeah. Shakespeare is like one of my passions. So like I know a lot about it, actually.
Okay.
And to do an escape room, you just come up with like clever little ways. So like, let's say, for example, just like a super easy little bit of, not trivia, because it's not trivial to me.
Don't yell at me.
Okay, I'm just saying, okay. It's not trivia because it's not like...
It's not trivial.
It's not
you.
Throwaway. Yeah, right. It means a lot. It actually means a shit ton to me.
All right, so it means a lot. Go ahead.
So there's like this bit of, like, there's this play. Do you know about William Shakespeare?
Yes, I know about William Shakespeare. Do you? Because you, it's like a really long setup. meandering.
Oh, no. Sorry. Setup. I just didn't know who I was talking to. And I can't like, I'm trying to like dumb it down for our... Again,
don't be
utterly moronic.
And don't be mad. You yelled at me because you said Shakespeare wasn't trivial.
So Shakespeare,
to you. Like, I was minimizing it.
So you walk in and it's like the year behest from toad to test. The tempest bleeds a blue. Right.
This is
so he does sonnets. From here to from here and from kingdom come. His favorite color was blue.
That's.
And then you have to like find like a
specific color was what?
Blue.
Wow.
Like a little tip, a little hint. And then you have to find like the blue book and then you open it. It's like this fucking whatever.
All right, go ahead. It's whatever.
It was born in like 1902 or whatever.
Wrong.
And you're like,
super wrong.
And then you have to find the thing that goes to the thing. And then like by the end of it, like we're better friends
you're
with our.
You're jumping ahead so far.
You
to
move
just,
up,
like, okay. what an escape room does to a friend group.
Yeah.
Not, like what. The design.
The
or...
record is pretty difficult. So like 45 minutes is average, but most people don't finish it. But then I would be there to save the day. So they'd be like, when was Shakespeare born? And I would figure it out, but it's like, whatever, 1850-12 or whatever the fuck.
1850-12.
And then, so you
so
have to like,
future?
So then you count 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19, 20.
How high are you counting
1852.
Right now? Don't.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8,
9. Wait, it's time.
All the way to 1852.
Okay.
You see how long that takes. You put up an envelope, and then you like have to fucking give me cash at the end of it, like
this
as a tip.
In an escape room. You know nothing about Shakespeare, and you're robbing people.
So we go town to town. Yeah, kind of like robbing people, kind of like a great train robbery, whatever, Bonnie and Clyde style. And then at the end of the tour, we'll frame it as a tour, because these fucking idiots love that shit. Sorry, I don't mean to laugh. They're just so bad.
You're bad.
What?
You're bad. Your idea for an escape room is it's predicated on your love for Shakespeare, which is non-existent because you don't know what his name is.
You're not doing a very good job of hiding your disdain for me.
Yeah.
You're at this point openly criticizing the idea.
Yes, it is a bad idea. And you're a bad guy because it's not even like a business idea.
It is a business
experience.
Idea. It is a fun
it's,
experience
no, it's a
for
robbery.
Me. Yeah.
It's a theft.
Yeah. Every
it's
experience.
Our fans.
Yes.
Yeah, people
stealing.
That support us. You want to trick them into being in a room with you that's poorly designed, by the way. And then once you're in there, you'll tell them how to get out of the escape room and you'll steal their cash.
Yeah. And what's the alternative? Doing this podcast.
That's fun.
Okay. Let's do that then.
All right.
Jesus Christ. I can't believe. Like, you go from a. Yeah, I'm used to like there's no bad ideas, and at this point I feel like you're finding little flaws, which you could do probably in any idea that like you could say something, every idea is bad. Like I can say your idea is bad.
Shakespeare was born in 1564.
Yes, what did I say?
You said 1902, then you said 1852, then at one point you said 1852.
And when was it? So when was it?
Now I said when he was born, and you have no recollection
no, I remember.
Of what I even said, which you pretended to agree with when I said
30 BC?
It.
When was it?
BC?
30 BC?
Before Christ, you think it was?
Yeah, or when was it? When was it?
1728.
Yeah.
1728.
That's what I said
well,
the whole time.
Well, it's not that. That was a lie. That was a test to see if you would fucking agree with any number that I
and
said.
I'm also lying to test the audience.
He was born in 1564.
Right. P.M.?
Did you say P.M.?
No.
At night, you mean? He wasn't born at 1564 P.M. or A.M.
It's not like the army time.
What?
I'm saying that's the year, not
yes,
like
the
clock.
The what do you think? That, you
like
think
he wasn't
I just
born.
Know what time he was born? And I was saying army time.
Yeah.
And it was 15, and the minute was at 64, which
right,
would actually
all right,
make it
all right, 16. All right, all right, all right. Enough criticizing everyone.
I was not criticizing everyone.
You're making fun of our fans, which I don't appreciate because I think they're great.
You were making fun of the fans, calling them idiots.
I'll edit it.
Impressionable.
I'll change it.
All right.
I'll make it so that you came up with this fucking dumbass idea. An escape room?
You're going down, Horowitz.
You don't even know a god darn thing about William Shade. Now, can we get to the questions that I meticulously found so that we can continue the path that we were going on? Which, by the way, I love to do.
Yeah. We'll see how you edit this to see if you come out to be looking like a
I'll
good guy.
I'll tweak it and I'll change it.
Godspeed.
And I guarantee when this is posted, your tweets will be like, fuck off, fuck you, you suck, you piece of shit. And my tweets will be like, you're a hero. I love the idea about not doing the escape room. You know more about William Shakespeare than Jake or whatever. And I'll tag you in the ones that ring the most true.
This is insane to me.
Let's see here. Oh, this one's pretty good.
Yeah.
It's called, Is Having a Girlfriend Gay Now?
Okay.
We'll call this man Henry V.
Nice.
Very good. Big fan, small D, had a quick question for thee. I thought I'd send your way, and what does it involve? Texting. A couple of buddies of mine are either coy as shite or dumbass fucktards because they don't know if it's chill to send smiley faces to girls. Only problem is, I don't know either. A few weeks ago, they stole my phone.
They're fucktards because they don't know. Guess what? So am I.
A few weeks ago, they stole my phone and read my texts with my ex, in which I might have smiled text-wise. Needless to say, they've been on my butt-ass ever since. Would you place a smiley every few texts, or does that dog your man card? Also, how can I get revenge on these C-U-N-T-S?
Oh,
I'm a 21-year-old straight gentleman. Any gay, thanks for the time.
Oh, all right. Is he getting made fun of for using smileys in his texts?
That's Rice.
Are they the smiley emojis or like colon parentheses smiley?
Wow. What would you say is more embarrassing to use?
I'd be embarrassed if I got caught for using the parentheses, the non-emojis. Emojis are widely acceptable as fine.
At this point.
I think so.
Yeah. Yes. You're describing perhaps emoticons, which are the,
yes,
what we grew up with, which was like, instead of the yellow smiley face, imagine this, kids. It was just a colon, a dash, and a capital P. And that was supposed to be your tongue out.
Yeah.
Yeah. And a semicolon.
If you're laughing a lot,
yeah,
you do an X, two X for eyes thing,
yeah,
right?
I think it's just a single X to make it look like eyes are closed.
Yeah.
Dash, carrot. Mm-hmm. Or if you were crying, it would be semicolon, dash, dot, dot, straight line indicate. You're fine on the day, but still sad to have it that way.
I guess if he was doing that, I think it was cool because it's kind of retro. It's throwback.
He's basically asking, in the grand scheme of things, how you talk to people you're courting or perhaps people that you're in love with or in a relationship with might be considered emasculating to your friends because you're talking to that person differently than you would your boys.
Yeah, I don't think I'd want to see I wouldn't want to have my boys see me, talk lovingly to my wife.
Yeah.
Because
you use a different voice, you use a different text, you use a different connotation.
Yeah.
But everybody does, so it's funny that it's, embarrassing. I remember ex-girlfriends being like, are you with people right now? You're talking to me differently. It's, very instantly noticeable when you're, being curt fast, basically the way I talk to my friends versus the way I talk to a lady friend.
When nobody's around.
Exactly. But that's what people know about that. That's the phone voice that you put on.
Right.
But do females use phone voices or are they sweet to everybody?
They're better than us by and large. So
they'll be emotionally vulnerable to their friends and in front of their friends. And they won't get judged, so that's fine. They don't feel the shame because they don't need to needle each other, make fun of each other, poke fun for being emotionally intelligent and honest and open with their partners or friends.
And let's change that, gents. You should just let the emojis fly. It's fine. Your friends can see it and they can make fun of you. You could be like, I don't care because I like the way I talk to this lady that I like, you know?
That's really nice.
Yeah.
Okay, how about this for the Shakespeare thing, if we're not completely putting the kibosh on that idea?
You said you were going to edit the podcast to make it seem like it was my idea.
Well, that's if I don't save it right now. So you choose one person per escape room that's considered the guillotine, and you put him or her in this kind of like beheading contraption.
So you put the guillotine in a guillotine?
Never mind.
Yeah, I will never mind. And why don't you never mind it too?
If you don't like that starting point, there's no fucking world where you are super on board with what happens after that.
Yeah, probably not. So why don't we go ahead and answer the question? Yeah. Unless you're going to...
No, I was just going to say, yeah. All right.
No, like, yeah, when you say, like, yeah, let's move
now
on.
Now I can't stop thinking about it.
Go ahead.
Because you cut me off at the pass. So the losing team gets beheaded a little bit. The guillotine gets... you choose one person to... for high stakes. But if you don't like the whole fucking guillotine and a guillotine, then it doesn't make sense. It's like saying, do you want to go to lunch? No, and then I'm trying to sell you a fucking sandwich. Just say you don't want a sandwich. Just say you already had.
You have to let me speak.
Right?
You're saying if I didn't like the name that you came up with, which was dumb and redundant, that I wasn't going to like...
Dumb and redundant? Sorry, that you said it correctly. I thought you misspoke for a second. Continue.
I didn't misspeak. You misspoke.
Yes, and I'm going to cut that part out too. So don't even address it.
Dumb and redundant. It was dumb and redundant. The calling a guillotine, the person that goes into a guillotine. You said I wasn't going to like that. Then I wasn't going to like you actually murdering somebody in the escape room.
Right, and
because
you don't?
That's the idea.
And you don't?
No, I don't like it.
I knew it.
Because you went from robbing our fans to killing some of them.
Yeah, some of them. By the way, 1 in 5, if they don't escape, which they probably won't, because nobody knows shit about Shakespeare anymore.
Including you.
The Bark. What? You know The Bark?
What about The Bark?
That was his nickname. All right. Moving on. It's obviously a waste on you. Now, let's call this person, who is actually a 20-year-old student in the UK, where I really am sure that William Shakespeare was from.
That might be true.
Okay. We'll call this guy Hamlet. Hamlet writes, I'm a 20-year-old student in the UK working part-time in a grocery shop to make some money on the side. Recently, my back's been hurting, and without all the will or resolve to do anything about it, I resigned myself to this life of pain. However, I believe the solution has been hiding under my nose the whole time. While I was stacking shelves one evening, my security guard came up behind me and started massaging my shoulders. This man is a chode of himself, short, stocky, burly to say the least. I thought his voice, like grip on me, surely meant paralysis, but once he let go, I felt incredible. It was as though my back had been broken and reassembled better than ever before. Unfortunately, the relief was only temporary, and now this was kind of a spur-of-the-moment thing, but after having tasted the sweet, sweet nectar of my back not being all tight and achy, I'm not sure if I can go back. My question to you is, how can I trick this security guard into giving me another massage again? If it helps, he is slightly less than middle-aged, Turkish, from what I gather, and a bit of a deviant. He once bragged to me about sleeping with an 18-year-old on a night out, which I thought was gross of him to do, but I'll be damned if his healing hands aren't a Turkish delight of themselves.
Turkish delight, very good.
I guess a net zero, right? Thanks in advance. Hamlet. P.S. Love Nadpod and Buckets. You guys should come back to the UK show with Jeffrey and Riley.
Wow.
Good tips. Good What's advice. Up? Your back hurts.
Yeah.
Is it the same pain all the time? Does it come and go? Or is it new stuff?
It's always different, but I think it's easy for me to like slip a disc or pull a muscle. Like that's kind of where I've come down on it.
You're just susceptible to that.
Yeah.
So like you're leading.
And I know what it feels like now. So like sometimes I'll be climbing and I'll like, foot will slip out from under me and I'll just like feel my back tense up and be like, all right, my back's locked for 2 days. I'm just locked out.
It's like knowing when you have a cold germ in you. Like with a cold, you sort of on like a 50% day, you're like, oh shit, I think I might be getting sick. I think I might be not. I might have to like ward it. But with a back, it's like, boom, instant, you're in back pain for the next few days.
Right, at least 2 to 3 days. And that's it. That's just my life.
And then do you know why you're more susceptible and do you know how to prevent it?
I guess I imagine it's because I like I need to work on my core strength, but it might just be that I have like weaker discs in my back. I actually don't.
Have you been to a doctor, a chiropractor, a masseuse, a physical trainer, a physical therapist?
I've sort of looked it up, and I know that like when you strain your back, it causes inflammation. It sort of like causes it to hurt.
Yeah.
I'm so stupid. I don't actually know. But, so I think that the inflammation.
You're guessing. You're WebMDing your way through this pain.
Yeah, but I think the inflammation sort of like occurs so you don't continue to
hurt it more.
So basically, like if I'm lifting up a big heavy box and I pull my back and like that, and it gets inflamed to the point where I like can't, I don't have full range of motion.
Uh-huh.
That's because my back muscles are protecting me from further straining my back by hurting so much that I'm not allowed to use it, basically.
That's just sort of you're just doing the general evolutionary reasoning for pain. Like when you're standing on a burning fire, it sends a signal to your brain to move.
Right. But that's what like this back inflammation is.
So just seemingly a warning shot.
More than other people.
And do you know how to fix it? How to like heal yourself? Would a massage help like this guy?
Stretching helps, and a massage would... massages don't help me. I think stretching my back, stretching my legs, and like rolling out my legs.
And if a middle-aged Turkish man should give you a massage, a magical massage that healed your pain, would you feel frightened or annoyed or eager to ask him to do it again and again?
I don't think I'd be into anybody giving me a surprise massage, but it sounds like if this person ended up liking it, they shouldn't really feel nervous about asking the Turkish masseuse to do it again because he did it the first time because he wanted to.
Oh, interesting.
So you're not like putting him in a weird position to be like, hey, do you mind massaging me? He's already sort of proven that he doesn't because he did it.
Yeah, unless it was like a quick friendly back massage, shoulder rub.
Also, I don't think that it's necessarily his magic Turkish touch.
Oh.
You could just go to another masseuse.
Yeah.
You could even get maybe I'll use this as my unsolicited advice when we come back. I'll look up what it is. But I got like a vibrating
whoa, no spoilers.
Ball, and I rolled my back out on it. It feels great.
Oh, shit. Good man.
Yeah.
So if this guy is down to give you a massage once, odds are he's down to do it again. I wouldn't be too embarrassed or shy to ask for one. And then, two, maybe you can get a professional one that'll last for even longer than this favor this Turkish guy's giving you. Go get a massage.
Yeah.
I think I'm due for a massage. I've only had one in my entire life.
We have a free massage, a gift that we got from
our
friend. That's
true. We should go.
It's on my desk. And it's still valid.
Let's fucking go right now. It's 8 p.m. on a Sunday night, but I don't give a shit.
Let's go this week. Okay. We should definitely do that.
Yeah, for sure.
We earned it.
A little Yom Kippur massage.
On Wednesday to break our fast?
I'd love to atone for that. All right, let's take a break. Let's thank some peoples. And then we'll be right back with more questions and answers after this.
Thank you to Squarespace for sponsoring this episode of our show. We love Squarespace.
That's correct. I use Squarespace over and over again, all the time. It is my go-to.
Yeah, you've built multiple websites.
Yes. Yes.
It's kind of insane. You're like almost a Squarespace entrepreneur at this point. You must have made, what, 3, 5, 50 websites?
I am a mogul. Yeah. I am a scion of Squarespace.
So you know how easy it is to design, mm-hmm. and you don't need to know much programming, if any, at all, to create a professional-looking online store, portfolio, blog, vlog. Hell, you'll even create a slog.
I have created a slog. And it is a slog.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's a secret vlog.
Right.
You can even purchase domain names through Squarespace. Jake, what did you find that people can buy right now?
Fly a bike. You've heard of fly a kite. Well, how about you fly a bike? That's where you tie a string to a bike and run with it and see if it will fly. And if it does, you'll post it on this website, flyabike.com. Thanks, Sharks.
That's pretty good, actually. Yeah. Mine is bikeafly.com, which is also available.
Really?
Yep.
You can bike a fly? That's good.
Yeah, you put a little flea on like a bike. You're like, oh my God, look at this tiny little circus.
Yeah. All right. Cool. That's really smart.
So if you want to buy those domain names, or maybe somebody in your life is turning 50 and you want to buy them a website to show you how much you appreciate them, you can buy their full name.com if it's available. You can do it all.
Gorgeous.
And you can also do email campaigns. You can sell content. They got award-winning customer service. They even got a new AI tool called Squarespace AI to update written content on any website, product description, or email. So it can generate instant personalized results for your brand, which is kind of cool.
Very cool.
So to get access to all these cool features and more, just head to squarespace.com/segments to save 10% off your first purchase of a website or domain by using that code segments.
Baller.
Yeah, that's squarespace.com/segments to save 10% off your first purchase. And then when you're ready to launch, you'll just use that code segments.
Segments.
Thank you, Squarespace. Thank you to Helix for sponsoring this episode of our show.
Oh, yeah, baby.
Jake, you love Helix. You sleep on a Helix.
I certainly do. That is correct. I'm proud to do it.
It's your favorite mattress. You know why? Because it's personalized to you.
That's right. I took the sleep exam. I passed the sleep test.
I am
certified, licensed, professional sleep, not quiz, test taker. Kind of like the bar. But for mattresses, folks.
Yeah, it says you take a Helix sleep quiz and you can find your mattress in under 2 minutes.
For some.
Super fast.
It took me 11 days to take that test.
Jesus Christ.
Yes. It was open book, but I really wanted it to be perfect.
Of course it's open book. It's just how you sleep.
Not just that, but yeah, kind of.
And then Helix has a lineup of over 20 unique mattresses, including the award-winning Lux collection.
That's actually what I sleep on, folks.
Wow. So you take the quiz, and then they ship you the mattress, and all mattresses come with a 10 or 15 year warranty. So if you're sleeping on a mattress for so long, it might be time to upgrade. And the best way to upgrade is by going to helix.com/segments.
Right.
Then you take that quiz, and you get 20% off all mattress orders and 2 free pillows if you go to that URL.
Damn.
So check it out. Go to helixsleep.com/segments and use the code HELIXPARTNER20.
Right on.
So the URL is helixsleep.com/segments. The code is HELIXPARTNER20, all one word. You get 20% off your mattress.
Right.
This is the best offer yet, and it won't last long.
No, sir.
So with Helix, better sleep starts now. It starts right now.
That's right.
Thanks, Helix.
Thank you.
And we're back. Jake, do you have any?
Oh, it's a little sooner than I can. Mom, I'm coming.
Gross. As I previously mentioned, I am going to endorse the Life Pro 4-Speed Vibrating Foam Roller from Amazon.com.
Amazon makes it, or they just ship somebody else's?
They just ship somebody else's. It's the Life Pro, not the Pro Life.
let's not mince words here.
You could just search vibrating foam roller and look at all the different reviews and. There's some that are like $200. There's some that are $30.
So I'm imagining 4 little tennis ball looking spheres that are rubber and mechanical on sticks that vibrate.
I'm showing you.
It's a tube.
Yeah, it's a foam roller,
but it's vibrating.
But it vibrates.
Interesting. It's
got, like, the inside has like a battery pack, and it feels so good. It wakes you up.
Have they invented a shoulder rub? Like, the guy in our last question said he was getting a shoulder rub. Certainly there can be a hoodie that I can put on that would give me that sensation, like mechanically or electronically.
Yeah.
Just this, we can put a man on the moon, but I can't replicate a guy giving another guy a shoulder rub?
I mean, the other thing that I have that I would also endorse is the Vulcan AccuSphere 4-Speed High Intensity Vibrating Massage Ball.
Yeah, we're starting to sound a little more sexual with every go-around. But yeah, what does this one do?
The other one
what is this massage ball?
It's a vibrating 12-inch dildo.
It actually massages you from the inside, which most of your muscles are actually closer to your asshole. So what you want to do is sit on it, and it shakes your whole body.
I think at the climbing gym, they have these things that sort of look like candy canes with like balls on the end. That you kind of like hook around your shoulder and you can like get into your shoulder muscles.
Yeah.
And this ball you can like put on the floor and just lie on top of it and roll it around your back.
What about a vibrating ball gag? So it sort of shakes your teeth. All right. Never mind.
Yeah. Go in the same idea pile as the Shakespeare escape room and decapitating our fans.
I guess all the ideas are sucky.
Yeah, they are. They are.
Yeah. Are some better than others at the very least?
Like a vibrating gag is slightly better.
That's pretty good, right?
That might be the best. Yeah,
that is a good idea. Yeah,
one of your ideas today was that we would put our fans.
That's pretty cool. A vibrating ball gag
into a contraption that cuts their heads off.
Spitball with that. How does that
rob them?
Where's your
money.
Tongue during
and
the?
And this is all happening. Shakespeare.
It can almost be like
say Shakespeare was
you
born
think
in
of
1850,
a toothbrush. 12. Toothbrush almost. It shakes the plaque.
You have illegal ideas.
How is Seattle? You were just in Seattle doing a not another Dungeons and Dragons podcast live show.
Yeah.
The first, evolution of NADPOD.
My first live show without you in like a decade.
Holy shit.
It's crazy.
Did it feel weird? Was it nerve-wracking in a different way? Was it not nerve-wracking because it wasn't performing as much? It was more like playing with your friends?
I was very curious going into it, like not really knowing like what the audience was going to be like, because I know there's a lot of crossover, but I had never met like NADPOD fans.
Tried and true. You've just met NADPOD fans at our shows. You've never met a 100% pure NADPOD fan.
Exactly. And it was great. It was so much fun. Murph, like, I didn't know what Murph was going to do. So he was DMing the live show, and I, like, didn't really know where we were going, what our mission was.
Oh, so it's like he sort of set the table and told the story in front of everyone, and you guys heard it at long time, along the same time as the audience.
So I guess I was a little nervous because I also wasn't just being Jake. I was, like, on stage as Hard One.
That's right. Could one of you have died that episode?
We could have, but we said it was non-canonical.
So, okay.
Like, whatever happened at the live show would not be, like, taken into account in the real
story.
Campaign.
So it didn't move the plot forward. It was like a little break, rest area.
Yeah, like a side quest, almost like a fever dream. But like we like went back to one of the old cities that our campaign had visited and like saw a whole bunch of old characters.
But then who does, didn't guests do those voices?
No, Murph does all of the NPC voices.
Wow.
Sometimes we have guests, but we didn't see any of them on this side quest.
Holy shit. So that was Seattle. Is that the only live show you have?
That's the only one we have for now. I would definitely do more. We also, like, we hung out for 2 hours afterwards and just, like, got drunk with people.
Wow.
Great.
Old school.
It was, it was very old school.
I love that.
Yeah, I would never do that with you. We don't have fun anymore.
So I'm thinking me and you in Seattle. We'll ditch the little fucking whatever, the herky jerk throwing dice game or
those
whatever.
Those guys are my best friends.
And so it's none of the Brian Murray and the Caldwell. Yeah, yeah, exactly. So those people aren't there.
I want to tour with from now on.
And it's me and you. And it's Seattle, baby.
All of your ideas are bad. I mentioned that earlier.
Yeah, that's fair. That makes sense. Sweet. Hopefully we get more live shows on the books. Maybe we could do a NADPOD / If I Were You co-branded. We leave you in one spot. NADPOD takes you from there. Ooh, we sort of take you across the country, alternating shows.
We do. Let's do a NADPOD in buckets.
Wow. So I'm talking basketball in a side room, and then on the main stage, you, Murph, Emily, and Caldwell are spinning a web, spinning a story, where I'm spinning a C-web. That's right, Chris Webber.
Nice.
Imagine that, him playing fantasy basketball.
And if you like that pun, then you're going to love buckets.
Buckets is half basketball puns, half updates and news about the NBA. I had Tim Baltz on the last episode, and we called 3-time NBA champion BJ Armstrong.
Wow.
My first call-in interview. We haven't even done that on this show.
No, we have not. Production value on buckets is already through the roof.
Well, it's actually hilariously not, because I just put him on speakerphone and held it up to the microphone. But it worked out fine.
Is that good?
We can do that. Now that we know. Fuck it, let's call BJ Armstrong again. Oh, he blocked my number.
Of course.
Yeah, the interview didn't go well. All right, let's get some more questions and answers under our belt. Here's one called Going Gray in the Lamest of Ways.
Macbeth?
That's right. Good day, you coy drongos. In the last 6 months, I've watched in horror as my hair has faded from cherry chestnut to a Gandalf gray. It was only a few hairs at first, but my head now looks like the side of a mall car park after the first winter snow. Not only is my hair ascending to the follicle gods, but it is receding like it's afraid of my eyebrows, What do I do? Will the hots with the lots of hair want to sleep with a silver fox in his mid-20s? Is there a hair DeLorean that will restore my hair to its lustrous glory? At the very least, this is unfair hair scare is causing my self-esteem to fall hard. Help! Love, Macbeth.
Macbeth.
So there's two things going on here. There was graying, and then there was also receding, which is like seems to be two completely different problems that he's dealing with.
Yeah, because I think if you have a great head of hair that goes gray, that's A-okay.
That's what I'm dealing with
right
now.
That's Clooney.
I'm like 40% gray at this point.
40%? No.
I don't know. Some pictures look worse than others. On the sides, I think I'm a third gray. Like over here.
I mean, your gray hair is awesome.
Thanks, man.
I were you, I would go, I'd like dye it gray.
The other way.
Yeah. Like go get as gray as possible.
As soon as possible.
Like, yeah, dude.
There's no rush.
That looks awesome.
But then the receding one, I don't know. It's what it always, the interesting part about going bald and how to deal with it is like where we as a society put shame in some things. Like if I get whitening on my teeth, that's fine-ish. Nobody's really getting shamed or ostracized for that.
Right.
If I get veneers, then it's like starting to be a little weird. It's like, whoa, this guy has fake teeth.
Yeah.
If you get like a surgery to fix hair, then that's seemingly more acceptable than wearing a toupee or a hat all the time.
It's so weird because you like on one hand everybody is like judging you, it's like, oh, just if you're going bald, just let yourself go bald. And yeah. Then on the other, society like generally finds bald men unattractive.
Right.
Like, and we've dealt with that forever.
It's also so like where do you put like, that in for like going fat? It's like, oh, if you're fat, don't work out. That's cheating.
Right.
You're cheating.
Just be you. And then also everybody in society has agreed that this is the best way to look and it's not how you are. So just accept that you're not.
Yeah, it seems like nose job are shameful. You don't really brag about having a nose job. If I got a nose job, I wouldn't like come on the show and talk about it. But
there is like a standard of what a nice nose is looks like.
That's right. LASIK is fine. You got LASIK and you're fine with that. That's improving your vision. Mm-hmm. If you're improving, I guess the difference is sometimes it's like subjective versus objective. So like you can quantifiably say my vision is improving. The surgery was worth it.
Right.
Or it's like I'm making my nose smaller. That's not necessarily better. You're just superficial.
Right. Well, it's an improvement to you, but to the rest of us, we're supposed to be like, no, your nose makes you who you are.
Yeah.
But the weird thing is that, like, there is a conventional norm of, like, your nose makes you who you are, but, like, having a small nose makes you conventionally attractive.
Maybe there's something to be said about cheating. Like, a tanning bed is considered kind of lame, though not as bad as a nose job because that's surgery. But, like, being outside a lot is not considered lame. Is it, like, you're trying to find a shortcut and that's kind of embarrassing? Like, when I whiten my teeth, that's slightly more embarrassing than using whitening toothpaste because toothpaste is part of an average process.
I guess what it all comes down to me is whatever you do, do it for you. So if he's like, if he just doesn't like his hair, he doesn't like going gray, and he's like, I want to dye my hair black or get a wig or get a hair transplant or something.
Yeah.
Like, that's fine. Go for it. Do your thing. But don't be like, oh, I have to do it because everybody else is expecting me to, or because everyone else will think I'm ugly.
Yeah.
Like it starts with you just being confident and doing your thing.
Here's another thing. It seems like shaving your head is much better than keeping it long while you're thinning out. It seems like once you keep the hair long and it's getting thinner and it's getting grayer, that's more noticeable.
Yeah. I think that's like the lowest impact, highest reward thing that you can do is just like get a nice short haircut. If you don't want long wispy white hair,
yeah,
that's probably the most noticeable.
And then if you got what I would do is I would buzz my beard and my head all the same. So like get like the closest thing you can get to like a Jason Statham thing going on.
I see. So there's like a like kind of like a 2 week growth,
yeah,
across the whole entire
stubble from chin to forehead.
Yeah, that's cool.
I think
it depends on how you look with facial hair. That's because I could also see like shaved head, beard. That's a fun look.
Oh yeah, that's a good look too. Like completely bald, but then also thick beard.
Yeah,
nobody's or fucking like, with that guy. That's like the Walter White.
Uh huh. I like shaved head, shaved ish beard, like with some growth, but then like a longer mustache.
Oh, interesting. Who's rocking that?
I can't think of it right now.
But yeah.
That's like, it's something.
All right. So there's lots of options
yeah,
for
Google
you.
Google this shit, you know?
All right. Last question.
Sure.
Choosing between two.
But first we should say you're beautiful no matter what.
Oh, yeah. No, totally.
Duh. That could be that same, but.
Yeah, as long as you're happy and healthy or whatever the fuck. All right. okay, got one. My problem is this, writes a lady.
Ooh, Lady Macbeth.
Ooh, very nice. Oh, wait, this is a guy with a lady's name. Still, Lady Macbeth, but a guy.
Nice.
We were talking... Oh, here we go. I've been texting with a female friend of mine, and I haven't talked to her in a couple of years. We used to be kind of close, and we were really comfortable with each other. We could talk about anything. We made jokes, and we were also a bit flirtatious. Here's my problem. We were talking about babies and stuff, and she mentioned that she didn't know if she wanted to be a mother. And she said, even if I wanted to, it's not like there is someone out there I can do it with. To which I replied, I could help you with that if you ever wanted to. We would make really cute babies together. At the time, I thought my reply was just funny and a bit flirtatious, but I think that maybe she was offended by it. To be honest, I would be lying if I said I didn't expect a more positive reaction on her part. She kind of seemed into me when we used to hang out, but maybe I misread that. She hasn't replied to anything since then, and it's been around 3 days. Am I a creep? Is she being a diva? Is this fair and or average? How do I make things right? I understand that she doesn't want to talk to me anymore. I just want to apologize if I offended her in any way. How do I go about doing that? I'd like to hear your opinions on this. Thanks, love. Lady Macbeth, but a guy.
Okay.
So he made a joke about wanting to make a baby with her, but she kind of set him up by saying, it's not like there's anyone who would want to do it with me.
So that's a weird text to send on her part as well.
Yeah, but then he was kind of into it. It's kind of like that thing where if you're interested in someone, there's no bad texts because every flirtatious text that's reciprocated worked well. And everyone that dies that nobody responds to for 3 days is like, oh, shit, what was I thinking?
Yeah.
It is interesting to have a baby with a friend. Why does society require it to be a man and a wife in love with each other? Like, what, I can't have a baby with you?
Well, we couldn't have a baby
together. I'm just saying, we can adopt and raise a child just as well as you and a wife of yours. Like, your wife, for example. Can I raise a baby with you instead of you raising one with your wife one day?
This is such a weird example.
To be your nanny or manny, in which
you want
to
have a baby with me.
And Jill, ideally. So the three of us, a thruple, raising a child, one another. Because two and two with one.
Record number of shitty ideas that you've had on this show.
Three, yeah.
Insane. More than that.
Yeah. But you do not hear about that as friends raising a baby together.
The commitment between two people, if you're going to have a kid, you know, if you're friends, it's too casual.
Then it's like, oh, we have a kid. It's like, oh, I'm sort of done with this kid.
Yeah.
So it's like, first you have to prove that you'll love each other forever, and now you're ready for it.
Right. And even that doesn't
ideally
always work out.
Yeah, that's true.
A decent amount of time.
So this guy.
Maybe there's something of friends doing it.
This guy swung for the fences, said we can make babies together, and now she didn't respond.
Yes.
He says, I'd just like to apologize if I offended her in any way. How do I go about doing this? That sounds perfect. You text her after 3 days. By the way, I just wanted to apologize if I offended you in any way.
Yeah.
I was just being silly and, you know, answering your silly question with another one.
I think that's a decent... if you want to talk to her again, I think that that's a pretty solid move.
And if you never want to see her again?
And if you're mortified, I think it's fine to just let this lie forever.
Yeah, let sleeping dogs lie. Or you... borrow a kid from a friend, right? It doesn't have to be a baby newborn. It could be a 6-month-old or even a 2-year-old, anywhere between 6 and 24 months. Uh-huh. You find out where she lives, you arrive with a child, and then you say, I'm sorry, I didn't get your text. Did you say you'd be down to clown with baby town or whatever the fuck you want to phrase it? I'm getting pissed at you because you're looking at me weird. But it's not a bad idea.
It is a bad idea. Because this doesn't even address his issue of wanting to hook up with her. Like, there's no baby being made between the two of them. It's just he robs a friend of their baby and then shows up and shoves a baby at her.
Yeah, and then once you have the baby...
He's worried that he was too weird by saying, I would make a baby with you. You think it's less weird that he shows up with a baby that doesn't belong to him?
And then once the baby... Right, yeah, that's true. That'll work. And then once the baby is there...
Don't say that'll work like I came up with that idea. You came up with
that's
that
actually
idea.
Pretty good.
I repeated it back to you to show you how dumb it was.
What's hotter than a newborn when you're making out with your new mommy? So like, you always see these new parents who are all tired but still making out all the time, right?
They don't.
And then they're still raising this baby. So you bring the baby, and I guess it's some sort of fucking aphrodisiac, just probably hearing the dulcet tones of this newborn will make you lactate. It's like a funny little conversation starter or icebreaker, whatever the fuck you want to call it.
Stop saying whatever. Stop giving up on your ideas halfway through and then like pitching them meanly at me.
Yeah, that's exactly right. Pitching them halfway through and being like fucking mean at you,
and then
you
just like
or
giving up
the
and
fuck.
Then getting mad,
yeah,
and then saying whatever the fuck.
Okay,
like you sort of expect as you're talking that mm-hmm. everybody is anti mm-hmm. your idea, and then you get pissed,
mm-hmm.
which is
fine.
Yeah, I guess normal because it is a bad idea.
Specific questions that he had: am I a creep?
I don't think you're a creep, but I do think you misread this, and I think you sent the wrong text.
I don't even want to say that much because she took the first swing, he escalated, and now it's just a weird thing. Listen, you can flirt with someone and then not respond to a text. It makes the person seem like a weirdo.
Yeah, I guess. But like anytime you say we would make cute babies together, it feels like a lot.
Yeah, especially because every baby is cute. That's sort of anybody can say that. Who's going to say I made an ugly baby with someone?
Yeah, I don't know.
We'd make ugly babies together.
We could make that's a funny pickup line, though. Let's make ugly babies together.
Pickup line?
Sorry, not pickup line. Bad Tinder opening.
Vow. Bio.
Bad bio.
How about a Hinge bio?
How about a decent Hinge bio?
How about a Raya song? Is your voice singing that as your slideshow, please?
Let's make ugly babies together.
All right, we're out of time. Thanks for writing in. If you have your own questions, your own theme songs, anything of that sort, send them all down to ifiwereyoushow@gmail.com. The opening theme song, remember, was the Simpsons one written by James. And this closing one is Landon, who made another A Little Bit of Sleet, Though rap. A Little Bit of Sleet,
A Little
though.
Bit of Sleet, Though.
If you want more me and Jake, we have podcasts, Not Another D&D Podcast, and Buckets, two completely opposite shows, all on the same magical network, HeadGum. Thank you so much for listening. We will be back as soon as humanly possible. We don't want to leave you for too long.
Yeah, can't wait.
Talk soon.
Bye.
So, what are you going for? Me? 34 and icy rain. Give me that sleep, though. A little bit of sleep. A little bit. A little bit of sleep. A little bit of. A little bit of sleep, a little bit of, a little bit of sleep, a little bit of, a little bit of sleep.
That was a HeadGum podcast.
Hey there, podcast listener. Good news. We're doing another HeadGum Happy Hour in New York City.
Whoa, that's amazing news. Amir, why don't you tell the folks when and where it is?
Okay, fine. It's Tuesday, May 7th at 7:30 p.m. at the Bell House.
Okay, and why don't you tell everybody who the fucking hosts are?
Yeah, that would be us. It would be, we're hosting it. It's Jake and Amir.
Okay, and how about this, you little piece of shit? Why don't you tell everybody who is going to be performing? Who is this show featuring?
All right, I don't appreciate being called that, but it is featuring Charlie Bardet, Natalie Rotter-Lateman of Exploration
Live. And
why
don't you tell them, excuse me, why don't you tell them who else it's featuring?
Yeah, Millie Tamaras and Elise Morales of the Go Touch Grass podcast, and
some surprise guests as well.
More, yes.
And Mir, why don't you go ahead and close this out now? You say something like, thanks for listening, we'll see you at the show, or something like that. Why don't you go ahead and do that?
I will.
Can you do that?
So go buy a ticket at headgum.com/live, and we'll see you there.
All right, bye.